have particular questions. From we have learned what we have learned. In the previous chapter, I think what kind of truth we study, what kind of truth?
Yes.
What kind of
absolute? The truth is one.
Yes, one, but the chapter we are studying today is a different truth from before. Remember?
It can't be put in words.
Right. The last time we studied the truth, we cannot put the words. Do you remember what I said? What kind of truth?
Absolute, yes.
But the truth is also absolute we are studying today, but quite different.
You mean the truth that can be put in words?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, it is close to English.
Suchness?
Yeah, I said the truth independent from the words. From words. Do you remember? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it is correct or not.
The story behind the words?
Mm-hmm. So, that absolute is quite different from the absolute dependent on words. Do you understand? Today we will study the truth depending on anywhere works. The previous chapter, the absolute is completely absolute. From the word, keeping away from the words, and then you can understand what is the truth. Okay? And then what is the truth? If it is completely keep away from the words. Look at the page 32. What is it?
think you were talking about that that truth includes phenomenal world and includes that engagement with that world. Talk about nirvana being...
Well, page, look at page 32. What he says.
The essential nature of the mind.
The essential nature of the mind is what do you call mind? What do you call mind? Have we ever seen? Have we ever thought about that? Why is it? Why do you call truth mind? Or mind means heart, or spirit, or soul, including all words. Okay. Why do you call the truth the mind? Have you ever thought?
Because it's inseparable from us.
No. If it is separate from us, why do you call the mind?
Inseparable.
Oh, inseparable.
Yeah.
Oh, of course, but still it doesn't hit the mark. But do you think it's funny? The truth is mind. Why?
Because there's no difference between subject and object. So the object, if object is truth, then it must also be mind. Or if
Object and subject are different.
They're the same.
The same.
The knower and the known are the same.
How do you say so?
How?
Because we can't experience anything outside of mind.
Sure, that's true. That's pretty good. Yes. But you can say, maybe if you look at this situation, or if you look at the Minnesota, maybe you can say Minnesota is present in your thoughts from this point, maybe we may call Minnesota the mind, because object and subject are not different. But the whole thing, even though you don't see, or you can see visibly, invisibly, whole world is called mind. Why?
Does it have to do with us being alive or dynamic?
Has no form or shape.
So I'm talking about the little doubt, you know, not little, quite big doubt. Why do we have to call whole world is mind? Visibly, invisibly.
Buddha.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is, but it doesn't need to mark.
You can interdependentness of all all objects, and then subject and object being one, even if you can't see it, or even if you can see it in one object, all the other things are there. So if we pick up one object, we pick up everything.
Right. So the Thai says this subject and objects are not completely different. It's exactly the same. Means a visible world can be understood because visible world or the visible world is present in your own thoughts, you know. Epistemology, sort of in the realm of the epistemology. So, pretty understandable. So it is possible we call it mind, but invisible world is also called mind. This is a question of, don't you think so? For instance, if you think United States, you have to think the United States with all any other countries, whole world, visibly, invisibly. And their whole world is called mind. This is a little bit not understandable. Which is, have you ever thought of that? So in Buddhism, anyway, even though you don't see you have never been in the heaven or hell, or even though you have never been in the Europe itself, but whole world is present in the realm of your knowing, or with your thought, of your thoughts. Okay. So you cannot ignore. That's why whole world is called. Whole world is called mind. Right? Mind is soul, spirit, or whatever, psychic, whatever you call. So in Buddhism, we cannot say all if it was not in your thoughts. No. If you say all are exactly connected with your mind, with your life. This is the most important point. Okay? That's why nature, I mentioned before, if nature is separate from you, you know, nature is something what you have never, you never experience. You never say nature. Well, even though you have never been in Europe, but Europe is in your thought. That's why you can go somewhere, sometimes. You can think, you can go. You can understand, you can think anyway. So anytime, anywhere, well, always all sentient beings are anyway present in your thought, in your life, connected very closely. That's why we say all sentient beings are mind. That is all, concept of the all.
So,
mm-hmm.
Does that mean that, with another way to say that, the visible world, the world that is visible to me,
mm-hmm.
is not different from my mind? And Europe right now is not visible to me. I can think about Europe, but I do not see, touch, smell Europe right now. But if I did go to Europe, then it would be part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it is now part of my life.
Sure. That's it.
That's not how you're saying it, though, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same way that you're saying it?
Even though you don't see or you see, anyway, whole world is constantly in your thoughts. That is called whole world. Right?
It isn't dependent on going to Europe to actually be there.
So even though you, if that's why, if you cannot go to the Europe, if you cannot get taste of the Europe, by that time you say Europe is not in my thoughts, okay? But that is your experience, okay? Individual experience. But even though you, whether you experience or not, Europe is Europe. Europe is in your thoughts, okay? That thought is so-called, what would you say, epistemological and territory, right? Our, the Buddhism is always understand your object, not ontological point of view, epistemological point of view. Always all sentient beings are connected with you, visibly, invisibly, or even though you have never experienced or you have experienced. And you are already there. Okay? That's why it is possibility. It is a possibility for you to go to experience. Okay? Even through the book, even through the map, well, whatever. Even though you can think image of another planet. Okay? So whole thing is anywhere connected with it. That's what we can call mind. How about truth? Do you understand that one? Is that all right?
It doesn't fit with my consciousness at all, kind of, you know. It doesn't seem to represent my experience. Except, it seems
now
like...
Before you experience or not.
Yeah, but that's why I say I don't understand it.
Well, it's because it is already in the realm of your epistemological situation. In the thoughts, in the mind, we say in the mind, in the possible knowing, okay? In the realm of possible knowing.
Well, I can't separate it from my illusions in the way I think about it. It seems like it. It's very similar to my illusions.
Not the illusion. Yes, it is kind of an illusion if you understand it. If something is present in your thoughts, it's illusion. It becomes illusion. But without this illusion, you cannot understand the whole world. That's why truth independent from the words, and also truth dependent upon the words. We have to explain. Even the truth. Truth is completely different from your world. How can you understand it?
Are you saying that the realm of possible knowing
is fine.
Very more
possible knowing.
Possible knowing
is mind.
Yes. Possible knowing, in the realm of the possible knowing that the all sentient being exists there. Okay? That's why we call all sentient beings mind. Right? Do you have a question, this one, about this? Because this is very important for us anyway. Otherwise, you don't understand this teaching from this book. You don't understand Buddhism. Using the mind, term mind, it is not the spiritualism. Okay? So spiritual, it is not spiritualism. It is not psychology. You have a quite different meaning there.
What is that?
Uh-huh.
Why couldn't it be heart, the word heart? In other words, like all sentient beings, maybe you could say, could you say that all sentient beings can't exist outside the realm of heart because of like cause and effect relationship between all sentient beings? Mind has to do with the realm of possible knowing that all sentient beings exist within what Greg was saying about within the realm of possible knowing. Could we also say that all sentient beings maybe can only exist within the realm of cause and effect, and we call a heart
that's a
symbol of
symbol of what?
The symbol of cause, or of action.
Mm-hmm. You mean the all sentient beings are living on the basis of the cause and effect?
Yes.
And that's why all sentient beings in the heart?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can say so.
Not as good as mind, though.
Oh, mind. That's why I say the mind is not only the mind, separate from the soul and spirit. But in this case, mind means the including soul, spirit, psych, any kind of words. Okay? That's why this book uses the mind, only mind. But this mind is not the different connotations from spirit and soul and heart, all right?
The way we normally think about this.
You normally?
The way we normally think.
Uh-huh.
In, is that the world that we don't see right now is a world of possible knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is ontologically existent.
Mm-hmm.
It is independent, has independent existence from my mind. And mm-hmm. It seems to me that this is the change that's being made. You're saying, no, that's not true. Is that right? But if the world of objects, the world of things that exist in themselves that are knowable if we come to know them. That's not what you're talking about.
No, even though you say so, many things are not thinkable. then you believe that many things which is not thinkable is not your world. But if you think so, if you think, no, excuse me, if you think the many things which is not thinkable is already thinkable, you think so? You're already thinking. So how can you separate from that, from yourself, from your world? Even though you say you don't, I don't understand exactly the world which you have never experienced, never visited yet. But still, that world you have never visited there is already in your thoughts. You understand that one? And also, maybe what you say there, different planet which you have never visited there. No one knows. Or death. Or the world after your death. No one knows. But but the many people write about death, you know? What do you mean?
Yes.
Even though you have never experienced death, still death is what? This is completely independent from your words, but still we don't know the death. But we don't know that death is not separate from your world. Death is exactly in your world because you can think death is something which you have never experienced before. So you think in that way. Do you understand what? So visibly or invisibly, or even though you think so or you don't think so, or you don't care. Well, even though you say, I don't care. But I don't care whatever you say. All things already in your thought. Okay? That's where you can understand someday. That's where you can go somewhere. That's why maybe there's some event which occurs in the fictions written by somebody could come to be true. You know? So nuclear weapon. People are really trying to stop creating nuclear war, but we don't believe it, but it could be possible. End of the world. I don't want to end the world, but it could be possible because that is already in our thoughts. That's what we are concerned about, the end of the world. Don't you think so? But we don't know what's the end of the world. That is nothing but the image of the end of the world. Right? So what is the end of the world? Can't you believe by the nuclear weapon it completely destroy human beings, all sentient beings? And then, can't you believe? Yes, you can believe, but you can't believe it. What do you mean? You cannot destroy the truth, and you cannot destroy anything, that energy, universal energies, okay? As long as universal energies, the universal life, what something always happens, okay, create. So by the nuclear weapon, maybe it could be possible for it to destroy human beings completely. But maybe so, but maybe not. Even though in your thought you can think that situation, but on the other end, still you can think it couldn't be possible. Okay? So whole world anyway in your thought. Did you think so?
What is the difference between the possible and the actual then?
Actual things is completely the practically you connected with your thoughts, you know. With your thoughts means that you, that is called experience or not experience or neutral. This is actual stuff.
Is that the phenomenal world?
Actual things is that you can manifest. You can manifest it in many ways. But thinking is still thinking, but it doesn't act. It is still as something still, static. Static? But if actual things is already working, it's kind of action. Even the thinking is action. Okay? So if something something acts on your object, it is something actual. Okay?
If something acts on your object?
Object, yes. If you act on your object, it's actual. For instance, if you think the Europe, it's already actual. Imaginary, whatever you say, imaginary. Okay? But if you don't think it, the Europe is there, and also it is in your thoughts, still belong related in your thoughts, but it's very quiet. So whole world is exist like that. That's why Dogen then says, when all things becomes Buddha Dharma, then there are the human beings, Buddhas, enlightenment, delusions, and all such beings exist. The first sentence Dogen then mentioned in the Genjo Koan. That is complete, whole world is belonging to your life. And then at that time, it is called all sentient beings. That is your world. Okay. Is that already actual things? You know, according to the Tendai school, Tendai teaching, 10 category of existence, right? 10 category, remember hell, hungry ghost, 10 category of existence. Fighting spirit, animal spirit, and the human beings, the bodhisattva self, right? 10 category of existence. And then, within the hell, there are rest of the 9 category of existence there. Right? So if so, in hell, there is a Buddha. There is a Bodhisattva. There is a Pratika Buddha, and many fighting spirit, and human beings, and celestial beings there. And even within the Buddha's world, there are in hell, hungry ghosts, fighting spirit there. Well, what's the difference between a Buddha and the hell? Fighting spirit. When you become Buddha, what's going on? What's going on around the hell and the hungry ghosts and the fighting spirit? What's going on around? You are, if you become a Buddha, they are completely separate from your world. They are still in the Buddha's life. What do you think?
Yes.
Yes. they are in the Buddhist world, Buddhist life. But what do you mean? They are something actual, or they are just living with the Buddha quietly? What do you mean? Do you understand that one? They are actual things, or actual things mean very active. It is active, but it does manifest on the surface of water. Right? Is that alright? It's very quiet. For instance, look at yourself. You are sitting and as long as you are sitting, it's Buddha anyway. But in contents of a Buddha, the contents of Buddha or quality of Buddha is very vast, you know. Many beings exist in this small body and mind. If they are really active and actual things, you cannot be Buddha. Don't you think so? But when you sit down there and the other Buddha, it's Buddha. Exactly. But rest of the beings are anyway exist as a quality of the Buddha's life. It's quality, contents. So all sentient beings becomes the quality of quality of your life. Contents of your life. That is, they are really wonderful beings which exist very quietly. But it's very helpful for you. And then from moment to moment, when you become Buddha, it's become Buddha. And then when you become hell, it's become hell. And then when you become a hungry ghost, you become a hungry ghost. Okay? And that time when you become angry, because Buddha's life is very quiet, exists very quietly with hungry ghost. So still it's possible to be Buddha. So actual things is always manifest on the surface of water. Okay? We say the psychologically, shuji means the seeds, and seeds is seeds, S-E-E-D. Okay. In the bottom of your life, in the bottom of the human world, okay, there are many kinds of seeds. Psychological. That seeds are just like a waterfall, constantly going. Well, we may say maybe the life energies, whatever you say, energy or whatever. It's really going, just like a waterfall or a stream of water in the river. Okay? Just going. That means many seeds. We exist right in the middle of that sea, which is just like a waterfall. That means all sentient beings, human world, completely truth. Okay? No exceptions, no exceptions. Means if you really recognize your existence simultaneously where you are, you are right in the middle of the seas. Okay? Means all sentient beings. All. Regardless of whether you are conscious of it or not, anyway, it's going. And all sentient beings lie in this stream of the seas. That is called all. We call all sentient beings. That's why all sentient beings. That's what we could be possible to understand. We could share our life with all sentient beings. We could, anyway, save, help all sentient beings. Because all sentient beings exist in the same and one ground, so-called seas. And then, in this, many beings in this seas appears sometimes in your world. At that time, it is called experience, which becomes actual. And then, some next moment, that sea, that experience leaves something, okay, as new seed. And what is stored in this stream of the seas, that new seed could be possible, they could manifest, will manifest in the future. Okay? When the time is right, conditions are arranged, it appears again. But that new seed is very quiet, just stored, and it's growing. Just like one drop of juice, you know, touching the oceans, and then immediately it's melted away. But even though that drop of dew is melted away, it doesn't mean it disappears. It's there. Because it's ocean already. So that is our the actions, activity. The actions coming from that seas, which you have stored anyway in the past. Okay? That is health and hungry gods, the spirit, the fighting spirit, many seas there. Okay? And then when the time is right, conditions are arranged, it's coming up. That is manifestation, we say. Manifested action. So that seeds makes you, causes you to manifest. And then that manifested action leaves another new seeds after doing. So it's samsara, it's growing like this. So actual things is really something manifested. But even though it is not manifested, still all sentient beings are in your territory, in the territory of your thoughts. That's what we call mind. Okay? So you cannot think of the United States without thinking the other world. It's really connected. Without thinking of other people who are starved to death, you cannot save all sentient beings from the, what to say, bomb, nuclear weapon. How can you save all sentient beings from the nuclear weapon, you know, without thinking of the people who are starved to death? You know that how many people to die in this world a day? You cannot think simply, let's wipe away that nuclear weapon. You cannot do that anyway. It's not so simple. You have to think many things. And also, we have to think something very actual things. Many beings die, starved to death. Thousands of people die. If you close your eyes to this situation, you cannot help all sentient beings from the danger of a nuclear weapon. No. So, everything is right in the middle of your life. So you have to think very carefully. Okay? That's why we say mind. If you know truth, truth is completely, independent from your mind, from your thoughts, from your heart, whatever you say, any words, anything doesn't hit the mark. But it is completely something separate from your life. Even though you can think so, truth absolutely is completely separate from your life. Still, that truth is in your thought because you are thinking in that. That's why in Buddhism we say suffering is suffering, pleasure is pleasure, and pleasure is also suffering, and neutral situation is also suffering. Means all things, whatever kind of experience you, whatever kind of feeling you have experienced, are anyway in the territory of your world. So neutral is also your experience, your world. Whatever you say, okay? I don't have a hope, or I hope I have a hope, or I don't know the hope is. What hope means, it also your thinking. So hope, not hope, or you don't know, no idea of the hope, or neutral situation around the hope, still all things are in your thoughts. Okay. Is that clear? Okay. That is called mind. That's what we call mind. Any other question about this?
Yes, I have a question. Suddenly it seems too simple. I'm wondering if I'm oversimplifying it, but are you saying that in my conscious mind these things exist then in a category that I say is unknown or unexperienced, and so they're not clear to me yet, they aren't manifest, they haven't become actualized in form? Is that what you're saying?
When it is actualized as a form, it's only one thing that appears, okay? But it's connected many things with it, right? Complete. That's why it's one thing that appears, when the one thing is manifested, it's very simple, but it's not so simple because it's manifest, and then around this one thing, many things is connected. So that's why what you have to deal with is one thing, manifested, right? In your life.
Yeah.
And then you have to deal with this. But it's not so simple because many things is there. So in other words, root is really extended, whole, everywhere. Okay? It's connected anyway. And then one tree is gone. Your life is one tree, you know, but roots is very deep, connected, all things. Okay? So you cannot deal with the one thing which have manifested in your life. Well, you cannot deal with it simple way. Okay? That's where we bodhisattva becomes very careful to deal with one thing which you really want to experience. Is that one?
Yes.
That's why Buddhism is very compassionate, very tolerant. You have to practice patience and also compassionate, but on the end you cannot stay with the sentimental way and so-called compassion. It's you have to move anyway, constantly move, do it. Even though you don't think it is right or you don't think it is wrong, anyway, with your careful consideration and as best as you can, you should share your compassion with all sentient beings. For this, you cannot stay on the chair of sentimentalism. Okay? You have to do it. It's very difficult. If you actualize something, it's very complicated. Because many things connected. You cannot handle your mind. I don't think my life is very simple. You cannot say so. If something actualized, in other words, if you act on, action creates something ghost. We have never thought before. It's become ghost. That is action. So, Buddhism is a very tolerant and generosity and very magnanimous, but you cannot stay with. Anyway, sentimentalism or individualism, anything. Okay? You have to move from moment to moment with using your senses, using your whole body and mind, and then figure out the way what to do. Okay? And then, even though you cannot get those final solutions, sometimes you have to do it. Okay? How? Do it with a prayer. Prayer. That is to save all sentient beings. Okay? Because if you do it, you can save. If you do that, then how can you save all sentient beings? That's what Rossi says. If you do that, then you can save all sentient beings. It doesn't make sense for me at that time. It doesn't make sense for you either. Okay? But you cannot stay with sentimentalism or pessimism, so-called, looking at the image of the end of the world. You cannot stay there. So, if you don't want to invite the end of the world, what you should do? You cannot stay with sentimentalism or pessimistic or optimistic way. Day by day, you have to create wonderful world. Even one guy's tiny seeds. Anyway, you have to put a seed there. So this is our Zazen practice. How do you understand this Zazen? Can't you believe this Zazen helps you or helps all sentient beings, save all sentient beings? You don't believe in your thoughts, by your thoughts, no. But you cannot stay with any image. You have to do it every day. So this is Zazen. How do you do it? Do Zazen with prayer. I cannot say any other words, just that's why I say prayer. I use the word prayer. In Buddhism we say va, okay? Va. It's really deep va. Because this va causes you to look at whole world. Okay? Connected with your one body and mind. Okay? Your body, your life. It's very connected. And also, if you manifest one thing, it's completely connected with all sentient beings. That's why directly or indirectly, it's help. It's help. But in intellectual sense, we can't reach it. That's why we need a vow. So-called prayer, okay? Prayer or vow. So that is really based on the vow, okay? Otherwise, you don't understand the vow. Well, more or less, everyone, they take care of your human life on the basis of a vow, but they don't realize it. They don't realize. Okay.
5:30. It's 5:30. 5:30.
I'm sorry. I couldn't go far. I'm sorry. Do you have any other questions? Next time we will study the truth dependent upon the words, okay? So that is from page 34. Toward the bottom, on page 34, number 1, truly emptiness. And page 35, number 2, truly non-empty. Okay. That two sections explain the absolute or the truth dependent on words. If the absolute or the truth is just truth independent from the words, no one could experience. No one knows. Okay? Truth, absolute, is completely something separate from human world. But we are already exist in the absolute. If so, still possibly there is a possibility to experience the truth. How can you experience truth? Particularly right now through the words. Through the words, how can you say about the truth? That is the next section, okay? You have some questions?
Is your understanding of the vowel? We're talking about a vowel. Is your understanding of that kind of something that that we want in our lives, and so we put it in front of ourselves or something? I mean, I don't quite understand what you mean by it.
Bow.
Yeah.
Bow means, for instance, a nuclear freeze. Okay. A nuclear freeze. A movement. This is important movement for you, so we try to stop it. But if you involve in that situation around the nuclear weapon, you know, you can see the how complicated world is there. Okay? You cannot deal with the nuclear weapon as an idea or concept in terms of your understanding, in terms of a standard viewpoint. No. Because nuclear weapons should be produced by certain companies, and that company connected with many human beings. Their labors anyway support their life. You cannot stop working because they want to support their own life. It's just like a honeywell. You want to sit down there and then screaming and stop creating a nuclear weapon. Don't involve in this company. But you cannot deal with a nuclear weapon like that. You know, it's very complicated because it's connected. Individual in your life, you know, it's really a matter of life and death if they stop walking there. Someone can stop, but someone cannot stop. So if you think objectively, the other idea of a nuclear weapon is simple, but when you are involved in the reality, well, what the nuclear weapon is going, connected with all sentient beings, you realize how complicated it is. So you don't know how to do it. But in fact, you don't know how to do it, but you want to do it. But when you started to do it, it's not right. It's wrong. But it's wrong, but you can't stop it. So as do your best, and after careful consideration, you have to manifest yourself. You have to do it. What kind of action you do it? What kind of action? Yeah. That is a very common action. That action is called, in Japanese we say, shugyo, means refined. In my English term, refined actions. So it's kind of, that movement must be refined actions. Just like a practice of Zazen. You cannot just act simply. So this action, so-called movement, is always back up by this refined actions, refined sense, refined anyway actions. Okay? That is called va. Anyway, va, without va, you cannot act. You cannot involve in this movement. Okay? Do you understand? That is fair example, right? So it always, in other words, really severely hope, wonderful hope, supreme hope there, always. Whatever you think, it's possible or it's impossible, whatever you think, by your thinking. Always there is a possible or impossible, there were neutral, many ideas comes up through your experience. But beyond this, anyway, you want to walk in the mist where you don't know what's going on there. You don't know the result. But you want to just walk there. That is, without vow, you can't walk in the mist. Just walk. There is a vow. We call vow or hope. Usually, maybe supreme hope. Very deep hope. Even though you see the end of the world by a nuclear weapon, it could be possible, but we don't believe exactly because we want to live. We want to help the human world. We want to carry the human world continually, anyway. That's why we do it. Anyway, we shouldn't disturb. That is a vow.
That's the same as faith.
Faith, you can say faith.
But it's in the form of the vow that we say, it says to save all sentient beings. And sometimes when you discuss, you interchange save with help. Well, for me, it's pretty different to help someone,
sure,
or to save someone. So, can you...
Save means cross the river, cross over the river, hand in hand, that is save.
The river of...
river of life. The river of life. Life is just like the river. You, all sentient beings, cross over. Okay?
If someone is unsaved, what does that mean?
Unsaved is also in the territory of the save. Possible save.
Don't they cross also?
Yep. If you still cross the river with one thing, with your friends, your actions connected with all sentient beings. It's not abstract. Your action must be a connection. Your action must be very deep and very refined. Okay? Thinking or accepting all sentient beings. Okay? For instance, during Zazen, if you don't understand the meaning of Zazen, it's very difficult to continue to do Zazen. But you trust the teaching of the Buddhas, you trust your teachers that by what the Buddha's teaching is delivered. Okay? And then you do it. This action is to do Zazen by yourself. But this action shouldn't be the simple actions. That action must be very deep, connected with your life, connected with others' life, connected with the present situation of the human world, what's going on there. Okay? Then you can sit. Don't think so? Then you can sit. Regardless of whether you know the save or not save, all sentient beings. Because all sentient beings are already in your thoughts. And then you cannot ignore this. Then you sit. How do you sit? Pick up only one thing, so-called karagiri, and pick up one action, so-called zazen. Sit down there. Just something, one thing appears. And just sit down there. Then one thing, so when you sit down there, all sentient beings connected with. Okay? That means all sentient beings becomes contents of your life, contents of your disactions. Or quality of your actions. That time, that action becomes very deep, refined. So called vow. Okay? Without vow, you cannot act in that way. If you really act simply, this is the purpose of doing Zazen is to deepen my life, that's it. But if you think so, you cannot continue to do Zazen anyway. Because it's too realistic, too individual. Individual, but individual because something appears on the surface of water. That is only one thing. So you can connect, not other things. It's very clear, okay? But simultaneously, it's not so simple because in the root, under the water or under the ground, there are many beings connected. So dealing with the one thing, nevertheless, you have to deal with all sentient beings through this one. For this, your action must be refined. That is called Ba. Then that is really save, and you really walk hand in hand with all sentient beings, you can say.